He woke as from a moment of inattention and felt a lump in his throat.
I can talk.
Not to me, you can't. You can say what the Admiral says you can say. Now move.
Mitch sat where they told him to sit and faced the little blinking light that was a video pickup.
Jed, you listen to me. This is Mitch. And yes, I'm a prisoner, but that doesn't matter. I want you to let the people that are landing take those Outlander children with them. Prima knows which four, and send to Crockett Street Nursery for those twins. The yellow-haired woman's twins. I want all six of them released to the people that are coming for them, Prima. You get those children dressed now.
Signal coming up, Admiral.
Let's see it.
It was a vid from his home. Jed, looking angry, with Prima well behind him, hands clasped respectfully in front of her. They were in the small living room, the one where he'd met the others so often, with the fireplace at one end and the conference table at the other.
Mitch, I don't believe it's you, or they've drugged you or something. It's some kind of trick. And I'm head of the family now, and I'm not about to let any children of this house into the hands of those godless scum.
Mitch felt the sweat spring out on his face, his hands.
Jed, you have to. They're coming anyway. If you cause them trouble, there'll be more people dead. Children dead, most likely.
Then they'll go to the Lord.
Behind Jed, Prima had moved. Without looking up to face the vid pickup, she had stretched out her hand and touched the fireplace poker in its stand.
I'm not gonna let the honor of our name be smirched because you got yourself caught like a yellow dog.
Prima held the poker. She held it easily, in a grip strengthened by kneading bread dough, wringing out wet wash, lifting babies. He knew the strength of those massive shoulders, those arms.
Jed, please. Don't risk the other children for those few. It's not worth it. Please, Jed, just let them go.
If they want to fight, they can have it. The preachers have already told us to gather and fight.
The preachers?
Mitch watched Prima walk softly, softly on her bare feet, coming up behind Jed, raising the poker.
You could stop them.
Jed had never understood anything he didn't want to. Mitch knew he should warn Jed. He should admonish Prima.
You could convince him if you'd try.
And on the screen, Prima looked up at last, straight into the vid pickup, and smiled.
Do it!
Mitch wasn't entirely sure who he was talking to. Blood spurted up, and Prima hit Jed again and again on the way down.
Prima!
She looked up at the vid again, her face settling into its usual calm from an emotion he had never seen before.
Don't let them hurt the children! Don't let them hurt!
I want to see what kind of people they are. You would trust with our children.
Be careful. Please.
Mitch knew it was wrong to be pleading with a woman, but his throat hurt and his heart, and he wanted no more pain for him or the children. The screen in front of him blanked, and then he curled around his misery like a child around a favorite toy.
I want to go. I should. The children know me. They won't be as scared. Brun would go if she could.
Brun was sedated in regen after an attempt at the delicate surgery that might restore her voice. She wouldn't be out for another 3 days at the soonest.
Not a bad idea. And me, of course.
You? You're not only a civilian, but you have no role in this.
I'm the resident expert you brought along. I should get to see these Texas mythologists on their own turf. And I would recommend, Admiral Serrano, that you send a member of your family. Perhaps that grandson who keeps hovering around looking hopeful.
I hardly think Baron's an appropriate choice.
These people care about families. If you send a family member, you are showing that you will risk family to save family. It is also advantageous that he is male. That will be more acceptable, considering that there are women along.
I see. And whom else would you recommend? Do you have the entire mission plan in mind?
Why, no, Admiral. That is your area of expertise. Mine is the study of antiquities.
Hovers held position above the streets, and a mobile squad kept pace with them, helmet shields down.
Looks kind of silly, with its streets empty.
The streets wouldn't be empty if they weren't there.
Baron's helmet informed him of the location of hotspots in the buildings. They were clustered behind every screened window niche. He hoped none of them had weapons that could penetrate their body armor. He hoped even more that Ranger Bowie's transmission had convinced them not to fight. Right now, the fleet forces were on Code Yellow 2, which meant that even if they were fired on, they were not to return fire without authorization. Hazel pointed out the main entrance to the house and the side street that led to the women's entrance.
I came through this door only once, when he brought me here. I used that other door to take out refuse or go to the market.
But do you think we should go in here?
It establishes authority.
Professor Meyerson had elected to wear a skirt, though she agreed to wear body armor under it, which made her look considerably bulkier. She led the way up to the door. It swung open just before she reached it. A stout woman wearing a blue dress with a wide, flounced skirt glared at them. She had a flowered kerchief tied tightly around her head.
That's Prima, the first wife.
Ma'am, we've come for the children.
Prima yanked the door wider.
Come in. Which one of you is the yellow hair?
She couldn't come. She's getting medical treatment for her voice.
She abandoned her babies. Abominations like her don't deserve children.
Are they here?
Yes, but I am not convinced they should go.
Hazel stepped forward.
Please, Prima, let the children come.
Prima had the taut look of someone willing to die for her convictions.
I'm not giving those sweet girls up to some disgusting heathen.
It's just me. You know me. You know I'll take care of them.
You traitor!
No, ma'am. But I had my family to think of.
We were your family. We treated you like family.
Yes, ma'am, you did. As well as you could, but back home.
Prima turned on Professor Meyerson.
And you, you're what? A woman soldier. Unnatural.
Disgusting. Actually, I'm a historian.
Prima looked blank.
I study Texas history.
You... what?
That's right. I came to learn about you. About what you know of Texas history.
Prima looked thoroughly confused, then focused on Baron.
And you? Who are you?
Admiral Serrano's grandson.
Prima seemed not to understand.
The woman you may have seen in transmission, dark like me with silver hair, she's commanding the task force.
A woman? Commanding men? Nonsense. No men would obey her.
I do, both as admiral and as my grandmother.
Grandmother? Still, do any of you have a belief in God?
I do. It is not the same as yours, but in my family we have always had believers.
Prima looked closely into his face.
I do not understand, yet I see truth in your face. You are not a liar.